This podcast is brought to you by all the people who've been so kind as to donate to keep the podcast running. So thank you to Harrison, who says, for the revolution, and also for your channel and the Talking Goats podcast, who donated $4.01. And thank you to Kerry, who says, I'm completely genuine Kerry / Kerry Judashko on Discord, and long live the Assured Scapegoat Kronstadt Rebellion. And Kerry donated $1.11. If you would like to help keep the podcast going, then go to socialism101.com and click on the donate button. If you donate more than $1, I will read your name and a short message on this podcast. Thank you.
Conditions, they are bad, and some of you are sad. You cannot see your enemy, the class that lives in luxury. You working men are poor, will be forevermore. As long as you permit the few to guide your destiny, shall we still be slaves and work for wages? It is outrageous, has been for ages. Oh, this earth by right belongs to toilers and not to spoilers of liberty.
Oh yeah, I'm a Maoist. I want to kill myself. Ogism. And my Twitter is the same. My Twitter is shut down for a few weeks because I said some of the naughty words. So I'm not able to do anything on it.
But you have a YouTube channel, right?
Yes. Maoist Ogism, although I upload very infrequently. Sometimes it's sporadic. Sometimes I just don't upload for like a week or a month or 2 months, as it has been currently, because I'm a lazy piece of shit. So, geez, yeah, you can find me there. I'm like most of the regular content from me will probably be on Soaker Bar's channel, because I'm on his channel every 5 fucking seconds.
Okay. Alright, that's good. So, you are from the Ukraine.
You motherfucker. No, just to inform you, the Ukraine is a kind of derogatory thing used by Russians, implying Ukraine is just a frontier and just an extension of Russia, not any different.
Okay.
That's why it's just real, it's not cool, but of course you didn't know because...
No, I had no idea that there was a difference.
Yeah. So I before you started recording, I'd been talking for like 20 minutes without recording. I'm one of the smart men. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the smart boys. And I was talking about realpolitik and imperialism and shit. Especially relating to the Russian Federation and modern China. And I was saying that currently in the situation that we currently have, we can't really afford much breathing room, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna suck up to social imperialists. Even, you know, it sucks. Yeah, it fucking sucks. But that's what we gotta do, you know?
Now, I believe a lot of Ukrainians in the West, in the western part of Ukraine, think that Ukraine should join, you know, NATO and the European Union and all of the other Western countries.
Yeah, well, for one, Ukraine right now is a very interesting topic.
Mm.
You know, you got the Euro in the far of, that's what a lot of people like to call them, the Euro in the East. Then you have the literal Nazis in the center, and you have the communists and kind of people who are sympathetic to Russia and Soviet nationalists in the East. And so that's your choice. Like, there's a lot of the government in the far, far west has really been trying to make it so that the, like, you know, like the liberal government, like the liberal pussies have been trying to make it seem like the communists and the Russian nationalists, like Soviet nationalists, although they're not perfect, they're kind of reactionary, you know.
Yeah.
But still, it's trying to make them seem like the bad guys, and many people have unfortunately been fooled by this. Many people think, oh, you know, and they end up, and like, it's actually funny that many Nazis support Nova Russia, even though Nova Russia is heavily anti-Nazi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious. And many anarchists and communists support Nazi Ukraine, the Kiev Wana.
Yeah, I've seen some some people in the Western world who don't really know what the fuck is going on, who support the you know, Kiev and Ukrainian government because Russia is bad or whatever?
The thing is, the most interesting thing I found, at least, was that Russia itself doesn't really have that much. Well, Russia isn't, like, controlling Novorossiya or New Russia, whatever you want. It's not controlling it directly. Rather, it simply has influence, and it supports it, because Russia, even though it is reactionary, for one, you know, it's good to have an ally in Ukraine, and two, they don't like Nazis very much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where that comes from. It comes from people, how do you say, it's complicated.
Yeah.
Really. And like all things, you know, like I was talking about that earlier, you can't simply say, oh, this is bad or this is bad simply because of them being whatever or whatever. Like I was saying, we don't have much of a choice when it comes to these things. We have either the imperialist powers of the West or the social imperialists of the East. And to be completely honest, it's good to have them fighting with each other, because that gives the left more leeway.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever imperialist forces have been fighting each other, that's when the left has been able to grow. May it be, now, I'm about to say the Soviet Union, but not, Soviet Union wasn't really imperialist. It's more that it had influence, like, influencers, whatever you want to fucking call it.
They gave a lot of, you know, aid, humanitarian and financial aid and stuff to certain countries.
Kind of like, you know, China is doing something similar in Africa right now. And what that's caused is that's caused a lot of boost of communists. And now, my personal opinion, China right now, not communist, not socialist. It's more just state capitalist social democracy is the best way to say it. But, fuck, at least it still supports some leftist internationally, and it has leftists in the party itself, and arguably the current chairman, Xi Jinping, he himself is semi-socialist-ish, kind of, not really, but whatever. He has some socialist sympathies, and that's not very common for the current...
Definitely, yeah.
And really, to have that is a lamau, pretty nice.
Yeah,
you don't get that.
But getting back to Ukraine, which is kind of what we're supposed to be talking about. It's okay, it's fine. Why don't you explain a bit about what Ukraine, the central government, the Kievan Ukraine, is like for people who don't know, for people who have no idea what's going on in Ukraine.
Well, currently, its policies are not official, because it is not an official government. It's not the central government entirely. It's made up of many former members, but it's, kind of like a fascist, dictatorship, very similar to one, but they've tried to essentially pretend that they're not, but very badly. Like, officially, they keep the standard Ukrainian flag, which is the yellow and the blue.
Mm-hmm.
But then they try to, oh, we're not, you know, Nazis or whatever. But then they use the flag either of the puppet, the Nazi puppet government in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Weird-looking one, or they just use it, the Ukrainian flag with a swastika in the middle. That's also very common. And that's, like, official things using it, too. It's not just, like, independent battalions.
Yeah.
It's official using it. Like the military symbol is the fucking symbol of the SS now.
Yeah.
The lightning strikes and stuff like that. And although the government itself is not entirely Nazi, it's been a slow coup, where now the government is almost entirely just Sing Haley.
Speaking as someone who lives in Sweden, like, you never hear about that here. Like, no news coverage of it at all. Or anything. I almost never hear anything about Ukraine.
No. It's because Ukraine makes the West look really like shit. Because the reason is that the West is supporting the Kiev Hwana, mm-hmm. not Russia. And, you know, like, the people who support the Kiev Hwana currently are mainly the, you know, like, the Eurofags and a lot of these liberals. They tend to support it because it's better than those darn left nationalists and those darn socialists.
Yeah.
Rawr. Or some shit like that. So it's kind of what it's caused, really. Is the situation you have is you have a government made up of liberals and Nazis.
Hmm.
And that's it, really. It's like there isn't much variation besides either you got Sing Hal or you got, oh my god, XDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDD that unofficially, the Ukrainian, the kind of Kiev Kwana has illegalized homosexuality, Judaism, being black, and things like that, and has started to try to do what it calls, essentially ethnic cleansing, but I'm trying to remember what they called it. I believe it was social restructuring, but essentially they're killing all the Jews, killing all the darker southern Ukrainians. They're doing the Nazi thing, because they are Nazis.
And how are they going about doing that? Like, are they showing up at people's house and, like, shooting them, or?
It depends, really. A lot of the time you have people... the government, like I said, is very unofficial now. They still keep some of the older leaders, which is why they can get a bunch of support from the U.S., which is, you know, yay. But they also enact a lot of Nazi policies without officially putting them into law. Now, the way they do those is, it depends. Sometimes it's like Colombia, where they send out death squads, sometimes to collect and sometimes just to execute. Usually just to collect, like various either political rivals, quote-unquote degenerates or whatever, and put them in areas where they can mass execute them. Or they sometimes put them to work in forced labor camps. It depends. Now, that sucks balls.
Mm.
But like I've said, this government... it makes it really difficult to know what's going on because it's so unofficial, you know? It is a Juana. It's not like some centralized government. That's why you still have people like this and liberals and stuff walking around Kiev. But you also have people living in fear from being, like, kidnapped by the fucking death squads. Now, the government hadn't gone full... like I've said, this has been a slow coup going on since the fall of the Soviet Union. Like, I saw that they started getting more and more reactionary to the point where they started, you know, pressuring communists, pressuring all that, and I started to get the fuck out of there.
Do you know someone personally who's been, you know, attacked, harassed by the government, or...?
Everyone I know, or used to know in Ukraine is dead now.
Wow.
Or at least I think they're either dead or the government got them. It's just fucking shit. Things aren't going too good.
Now, I'm guessing that you and your friends were persecuted because you were left wing or whatever.
Not all of us. Mostly it was just because we were Jewish.
Okay. Jeez.
And we were Southern Ukrainians, which are a lot darker. Kind of like the Ottomans, and the Russians didn't like the Armenians, because the Armenians, too light for the Ottomans, too dark for the Russians. Really, Cossacks are kind of, it's a cultural group, I was darker because I was Yiddish, Jew with, like, being a fourth Ethiopian, so that's kind of where that came from. But a lot of people did think I was a Cossack or whatever. A lot of people thought I was Greek, which was funny.
Huh. That's do Cossacks and Greeks look alike?
Well, the thing is, the many Cossack people now. This is all just ethnic bullshit. But many Cossack people, you know, they're like darker, darker skin, darker hair, or sometimes it's curly, and they have a very distinct culture that's separate from a lot of the normal Ukrainian culture.
Okay.
Quote unquote. No, they're the descendants of the fucking Mongols, which is where that comes from.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really a lot of this ethnic tension bullshit that's going on in Ukraine. It's all fucking fabricated bullshit. It's not real. It's not like people really noticed it that long ago.
Yeah. How widely spoken is Ukrainian these days? I know a lot of people speak Russian.
Most people just speak Russian and Ukrainian, or they just speak Russian. Depends where you are. In the East, most people just speak like Russian, and some might speak like some in the North might speak Belarusian and Russian, but or Ukrainian, whatever. Their languages are similar. They're different. Like a Polish person would probably be able to understand Ukrainian better than a Russian person, but then Russians don't understand any other fucking language because the Russian. You know, the Russians are the Americans of the Baltics.
Yeah, I've heard that comparison before, yeah. That's funny.
Russia, all these post-Soviet nations really kind of went in the shitter.
Yeah.
Especially Russia and Ukraine. Basically all of them. Moldova, fucking all these nations went to shit after socialism. In Romania, Bulgaria was already the kind of shit, but Romania a lot on the, really the Czechs have probably been the, like, luckiest, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, they were also, like, immediately integrated into, like, Europe and European, you know, markets and all that stuff.
Probably, it's all funny. It's all fucking funny. It's depressing, but it is very humorous, in my opinion, that it's just like, you know, Gorby went, hey, let's destroy the Soviet Union. And then Yeltsin went into power, drank himself to death, had like 3% approval rating.
Yeah.
Gorbachev was a fucking asshole.
Mm-hmm.
All the shit he did, like, originally his reforms were more just Khrushchev level, but then he just went full, you know, Gorbachev. You know, privatizing healthcare.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Which, the only other nation in the world at that time that had ever privatized healthcare, it was Nazi Germany and Italy. It were the only two nations historically, like fascist Italy, that had ever privatized healthcare.
Huh.
Like, Nazi Germany is one of the only countries, was the first country to really do a mass privatization campaign.
Right, because, like, in the US, healthcare was never nationalized.
Yeah.
Okay.
It has always been private.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got all that lovely shit.
It's interesting because after the fall of the Soviet Union, a lot of Western countries, Sweden, I think almost especially, also started privatizing a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once the Soviet Union was gone, states like Sweden didn't feel threatened that, like, a bunch of people would want to have a communist revolution. And so they started privatizing everything again.
Finland's been going, like, private as all hell. Finland's almost fucking going... its social democratic party is about as social democratic as a German social democratic party. Fucking rip in peace.
Yeah. Like, Sweden is, like, upheld as this super awesome, progressive, socialist, you know, wonderland. And a lot of, you know, a lot of... Americans, like Bernie Sanders lovers and stuff, point to Sweden like, oh, look how awesome Sweden is. But, like, basically the only reason that Sweden started, you know, nationalizing stuff and, like, the reason we have, like, such good education and healthcare is because after 1917, after the Russian Revolution, Sweden was fucking paranoid that the workers would rise up and have a communist revolution. And so they just started, like, giving us a bunch of shit, like, oh, here's you know, better healthcare and education. You know, you can have these things so that you don't, you know, rise up and overthrow the state.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as the Soviet Union was gone, you know, they didn't need to keep all that stuff, so they started privatizing everything again.
Really, the farther away from a socialist nation you were, the less social democracy you had. So, like, nations like fucking that were really close to the Soviet Union or really close to any socialist nation would start going more suck them,
mm-hmm.
or they would go more authoritarian. Nations like Finland kind of did both.
Yeah.
Nations like Colombia, like Chile, all those fucking South American nations mainly just went authoritarian. Argentina went social democracy and authoritarian. You know, yada yada yada.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to think about. How long has it been this bad in Ukraine?
Well, it's been a slow process ever since the fall of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
You know, and it got accelerated a lot by Yeltsin, because Yeltsin fucked everything up even more by destroying the all economic connections that these nations had.
Yeah. Now, there are two currently ongoing separatist movements in Ukraine. Novorossiya and Donetsk, right?
It's Luhansk and Donetsk, but they're both united in Novorossiya.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There are two, but it's not Novorossiya and Donetsk. It's, you get what I'm saying? It's people's republic make. Now, Donetsk is a lot more commie than its neighbor, but they're both, kind of lefty-ish, maybe. They're both decent, and they're very confusing.
Yeah. I mean, they seem like mainly... I mean, obviously, I'm an outsider, so I don't know that much about Ukraine and internal politics. But it seems like they are a little bit, like, just nostalgic and not actually... very left-wing in their politics, but it's more like for people who miss the Soviet Union and that kind of stuff?
It's some people in the government are like that, but most people are more just either they're Soviet nationalists or Soviet patriots, whatever you want to say. Like a lot of people in Belarus, they're not communists, they're Soviet patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Like the current Lushenko, however you pronounce his fucking name, is a Soviet patriot, but he's not
socialist.
A communist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, he is a socialist. He's just not a Marxist.
Oh, okay.
It's a little. He wants a Marxist state, but he fucking confuse. Basically, people like the Soviet Union because it wasn't shit, and they want whatever the policies it had back.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter specifically what those policies are. Like, it doesn't matter if they're, like, communism or whatever. They're not communists. They just want the policies they had back when it wasn't shit.
Yeah.
That's basically, you know, they just want things to be not shit again. And a lot of people in Novorossiya... Novorossiya. They like that. And many of them, you know, it's like the Communist Party is small. Okay, well, it's not small. It's the second biggest party. And the other party, it's weird because, you know, you go on Wikipedia, which is full of Euro-f***s, and it says, oh, it's a right-wing party that's like Russophilia, I believe it said.
Yeah.
Which is stupid, because in reality... it's just very nostalgic for the Soviet Union, kind of left-wing nationalist, kind of, maybe. Some parts of it are more conservative, some parts are Putinist, but most are that kind of left-wing, Soviet-esque nationalists. The main, debate between the two People's Republics is either do they join Russia... as, like, states in Russia, or Do they become independent socialist republics with an influence of Russia, or do they become completely independent, do they say, with China, you know, all that shit?
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people, now, I personally want them to be independent, of course, and from what I've seen, a lot of people want them to be independent as well, but some people don't, some people are Putinist, it really depends. A lot of people say that are pro-Russian separatists, and, you know, that's a little fucking yay. And not true, because many people in Nova Russia, although they do like Putin, has helped, kind of, I guess, not really. Okay, so the Russian Federation's army is not, like, doing what CNN says it's doing and fucking invading, like, Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
but it is sending weapons. And that's what the Russian Federation does for a lot of left-wing nations. It doesn't directly help it, like for Syria or for Rojava. Oh, by the way, all those, like, people who whine about Russia and then support Rojava should understand that Russia supports Rojava a lot. They give it a lot of fucking weapons, and they are completely aware of its politics. It's, you know, it's not out of the bottom of their hearts. Also, North Korea supports Rojava, by the way. It's not out of the bottom of their hearts. It's simply practical.
Mm-hmm.
More socialist nations are good for Russia because they're going to fight against the United States, and Russia is also fighting against the United States. So nations that are socially inclined are, one, going to have an efficient economy, and two, are going to be able to essentially just it's in Russia's interest to fight against American imperialism. It's not at the bottom of their hearts because they're replacing it with their own imperialism, but it's in their interest, and we should, you know, at least humor them so we can get their beautiful fucking guns.
Yeah. That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, North Korea is pretty internationalist. North Korea, I mean, also supports Hezbollah, but they support Rojava, they support Syria, with weapons. That's why you see the North Korean LMG, I can't remember its fucking name, fucking fighting everywhere.
So, I guess a good question is, in regards to Nova Russia and the two People's Republics, how much authority do they have? Like, do they completely control that region of Ukraine?
There is fighting with the Juana Nazi militias, Nazi volunteer battalions. Like, there's this one battalion from Germany. It's a neo-Nazi battalion that's fighting for Ukraine. You know, you'll see a lot of the, like, current Ukrainian government forces fighting with, like, swastikas on their helmets, like that one famous picture of the guy smiling with a fucking swastika helmet. Yeah, they have a pretty good control. Most people there are not a big fan of Nazis and support them, especially the older generation. But the younger generation also supports it as well.
So do you know how much private enterprise there is? Like, is there also a socialist enterprise? And then, like, how's the...
Well, currently Nova Russia's economy is in a bit of a turmoil, but the current government has been trying to nationalize a lot of things, and it's been turning a lot of the nationalized properties into kind of socialist co-ops, right?
Okay.
The reason is mostly just for the practical purpose that that's more practical, but still, they really have been implementing a lot of socialist policies economically in response to a lot of the mass privatizations of the Ukrainian government. You know, like Nova Russia, of course, has things like free healthcare, a lot of different decent social services, and they are, you know, they've nationalized a lot of base industries like energy and are trying to provide free energy for the people, stuff like that.
Hmm.
You know, basic shit. It's hard to do socialism when everyone is trying to kill you.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. They have very little, like, they don't allow any big businesses, but they do have small business.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, that's something that can be done later, much later.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, you know, when there's still fighting and that kind of stuff going on, I think it's okay.
So, you know, but yeah, I think that economically, from my perspective, they are in a very early stage of socialism, but they are trying. Like, they've been trying to do some collective farms. Try to increase productivity and allow more food, stuff like that. Because they can't really import much due to Ukraine being like, hi, sing hail, fuck you.
But they can import from Russia, right?
Mm-hmm. It kind of, I guess, but they still have to fucking pay. It's not like they don't pay. So they try to produce goods in a good socialist fashion, try to be as self-sufficient as possible. They also have some progressive policies in order, socially. Like, women have a lot better rights, you know. Like, in current Ukraine, women can't get divorces. But, you know, they don't have same-sex marriage or civil unions, but homosexuality is legal in Nova Russia, which is very, you know, that's decent.
Yeah, it's better than it being illegal.
A lot of that stuff is legal. Like, trans people are legal. They are not really mentioned in the law at all as being illegal or legal. So it's just said legal. We should see how it turns out, but it's probably going to be a more conservative, but still.
So, this is not actually Ukraine, but bordering Ukraine all the way over to the west, there's another separatist socialist republic, well, kind of socialist, Transnistria.
Ooh, yes, I've actually heard of this one. That's existed for a while.
How much do you know about it?
Not really much. There are Soviet separatists that founded a thin strip of land with Moldova. They separated from Moldova and Ukraine, and neither side has really fought against them because it would just be kind of pointless. But I haven't really read much on them. I have heard a lot about them. They're kind of like a joke. I mean, I'm not like a joke, like they're stupid or whatever. It's just that most people talk about them like, you know, hey, did you hear about the socialists down there? What are they doing? Yeah, exactly. I'm asking myself the same thing. You know, they're mainly that, but I don't really know personally much about them other than that fact, but I would like to know. Like, if they're cool, they're cool. If they're not, they're not.
Yeah, I'm also very curious about them. I would really like to know, like, if they are just, you know, Soviet nostalgic or if they have some cool left-wing politics, like Nova Russia seems to have.
I'd like to see. Now, of course, I would like to say something. Nova Russia, not all fucking cherries, roses, and all that shit. Yeah. It's not perfect.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, got shitty things. You know, it is very conservative compared to what we most Western socialists would consider progressive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's progressive for Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has, you know, a lot of internal shuffle, a bit of Putin dick sucking, shit like that. So, you know, just don't blindly support it. But, you know, a Lamau fucking better than anything else that's there, so I'll fucking take it.
Yeah.
And it's better than Nazis. Like, actual legitimate Nazis.
Yeah. It's interesting that so many Ukrainians are Nazis, because
it's not many of them are actually Nazis. The government itself is Nazi, but the government has also implemented conscription and things like that.
It's
quite brutal, so that's where a lot of that comes from.
Right, okay. Because Ukraine was quite devastated during the Nazi invasion of the Soviet Union.
The Nazis raped us bad.
They killed a lot of people. So, like, Nazi sympathy, how long have there been, you know, Nazis in Ukraine in that way?
Really, the Nazis didn't start really appearing until after Soviet Union's fall. Really, kind of everything went to shit after that. Like I've said, it's pretty much it.
So there weren't like there wasn't like Nazi sympathy or anything during the Soviet era?
Not in the government, but the governments that took after the since so many people supported the socialists and the Soviets in Ukraine, essentially what they had to do was they had to get a lot of people who weren't Ukrainian and a lot of people who were like really the only sympathizer, the only people who helped the like US backed governments get into power tended to be very right wing, like right wing nut jobs that were like right wing academics that were working in the Soviet Union.
Huh.
Or many were like exiles because they did some weird shit. Like I remember one this one guy in the Ukrainian government killed his wife and then had sex with her while she was dead, and he got kicked out of this. He fled because that's, you know, not cool and that's a crime. And then he became main minister in the government. He was. He also said that he killed it. He killed his wife for the great Lord Satan Adolf Hitler.
Wow.
I'm very glad that the U.S. took over Ukraine.
Yeah, sure, sounds like it.
That's the only people who sympathize with the U.S. were these fucking right-wing nut jobs. Uh-huh. And they were the only ones who would even tolerate them. And they're the ones who ended up going into power because of that. So you have fucking horrible people coming into power, no experience, knowing nothing. That's why there are charts, like, if you can edit in right here a picture of the Ukrainian population chart, you can see it's been going down very steadily because of this right-wing death squads, mass starvation, and just people leaving because it's gone so shit. Unemployment has gone up to, I think, like, fucking, like, 30% or something like that. It's gone to shit.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I've definitely heard that, you know, there's a lot of turmoil and a lot of trouble in Ukraine. But I think most of Western media blames that on Russia and says that it's because of Russia. a bunch of shit.
And that's because they've had a neoliberal government in power for a while, and that neoliberalism after socialism works about as well as drinking more, like fucking drinking bleach.
Ukraine tried to outright ban the Communist Party, I believe, last year or maybe 2 years ago. I think the European Court of Human Rights or whatever it's called basically told them they couldn't. But I don't know what happened after that. Do you know if the Communist Party actually got banned or not?
It didn't get, like, a lot of this, I'm telling you, it's not like the government knows it can't use unlimited methods. It can't just say, ha, you're banned, because some people are going to get hashtag triggered about that.
Yeah.
So what they got to do is they got to do what, like I said, a slow coup of everything. They're slowly turning it into, like, you know, now it's the norm to see people going sing hail in the streets.
Yeah.
But it's been slow, you know? Now it's the norm to see the military literally use the symbol of the SS and say, I pray to destroy the degenerates. Like, that's normal now. But that's only normal through normalizing it.
Yeah.
Like, what Thatcher did is the exact opposite of how you institute a shit government. Thatcher fucking blew her load way too much.
Yeah.
And what did is it just kind of fucked everything up. Now no one wants neoliberalism anymore.
Yeah. Funnily enough, Thatcher may be one of the biggest reasons that the Labour Party and Jeremy Corbyn is, you know, gaining in popularity, because a lot of people remember Thatcher and fucking hate her.
A lot of people remember Blair and fucking hate him.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people became tired of new labor, as they called it, which was basically neoliberal labor.
Yeah, that's the same as the U.S., actually. A lot of people are becoming kind of, how do you say, disillusioned with, like, they think Democrats are Republicans. Now, unfortunately, the majority of the people who become disillusioned swing right. not left, because of the constant fucking anti-communist, anti-socialist propaganda.
Yeah.
Made them go, sing hell, am I right, my dudes?
Yeah, it's very easy for Americans to, you know, Sieg Heil and love Hitler when, you know, they weren't invaded by Nazi Germany.
Nope.
Basically, Ukraine is doing it the right way. It's they're very, very slowly turning Nazi so that no one notices, whereas Margaret Thatcher and Donald Trump went, you know, full out, you know, all at once, and then people noticed and were like, wait, no, this is bad.
Yes.
But in Ukraine, it seems like people are just like, well, you know, this is pretty weird. And then the next day, well, maybe this is also a bit weird. But it's been 26 years since the fall of the Soviet Union now. And you know, you can do a lot in 26 years, even if you take it slowly.
Yep. So remember, kids, if you're going to install a right-wing, far-right or right-wing government, don't blow your load too early. And really, Trump, I don't think is deserving of much. Like, Trump is just stupid.
Yeah.
That's really all. He's not like some great right-wing enemy, and he's not some great whatever. He's not great at all. I don't take him seriously enough for any of that.
Yeah, no. You're definitely right, yeah, there.
He's just a neoliberal.
So, where is it that you live now?
I live in the good old land of Burgerland, in the good old land of I'm fucking burning alive.
Oh, Arizona?
Arizona.
Right.
Hey, now, when you live in the second hottest place in America, fucking kill me.
Yeah, I went, obviously being from Sweden, originally raised in northern Sweden, so, you know, that was fucking cold as shit. I went to Maine for 2 weeks, and I thought it was hot there.
Get down on that fucking 60 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, I am. No thanks. I'll stick with the cold. I'm fine with that. Well, it was interesting talking to you, man.
Yeah, thank you. I'm gonna go fucking take a vodka nap.
All right, you do that.